Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
Hey, and I'm George Affleck.
And it's time for George is Right Again. We should rename the podcast. Instead of Unspun, we should just call it George is Right Again. Twice. We're going to talk John Rustad resigns, finally. We're going to talk about Brenda Locke being upset about SPS, what else, Surrey Police Services, and their budget, which George was right about, and much, much more on this edition of
Unspun.
George was right. That's what we're calling. George_Affleck was right.
If only my kids and my partner and Amanda would agree with everything I said all the time, which is, of course, always right at home as well.
Of course.
Of course.
George fact. That's what George Amanda calls
that's
it.
What Amanda calls
she
with,
calls right? it a George fact, for sure. Okay, yeah. So John Rustad, the BC Conservative Party leader, Conservative Party of BC leader, the official opposition, who has been much maligned, dragged, steeped in controversy since the second he was elected into this position. You've been predicting that it was just a matter of time, which is why you were right. So I'm just reiterating why you were right.
I was off by a couple of weeks.
By a couple of weeks. But then when we saw the news move yesterday on Wednesday, so we record on Thursday. So on Wednesday, the news moved that what? That his party had come together and said, he is cognitively not able to? Like, what was their reasoning they ended up using?
This first those letters started rolling in a few weeks ago from riding associations, which is sort of why I said, you're toast. You people are working against you, and that doesn't work when the caucus starts to, then when the caucus starts to say, it's time to go, it's time to go. You can delay it as long as you want. What's interesting is yesterday he held himself in his office and didn't really come out and wouldn't resign. And people were, why? And I think, the way I understand it is that he managed to avoid being part of the before the recess. If he'd resigned before the recess, he would have then been not the leader of the opposition in the books, literal books.
So he wouldn't get the
upgrade. So I think we have to check this, but that he now will be paid the leader of the opposition salary until the House sits again in the spring, where they would make it official that somebody else is the leader of the opposition. So there's an interim leader as of today,
Trevor Halford,
which makes him not one of the candidates.
Ineligible.
Generally, that's how parties work. It may be different. So every part, but generally, if you're interim, you're not going to run. And so now the question, I just think it did he do that because he should have done it when I told him to do it here on the podcast.
Yeah, you did. You're like, buddy, read the room. This was the official release. December 3rd, 2025, John Rustad removed as leader of the official opposition and party. A majority of the Conservative Caucus of British Columbia has informed the party's legal counsel that they no longer have confidence in the leader of the official opposition, John Rustad. As such, he has been removed as leader of the official opposition per a caucus vote. Trevor Halford was selected as interim leader. Having received this notice, the board of directors passed a motion certifying that Rustad is, per section 11.02, professionally incapacitated and unable to continue as party leader of the Conservative Party of British Columbia. Furthermore, the board passed a motion appointing Trevor Halford as interim leader. Conservative Party of British Columbia respects the democratic will of the majority of the caucus. Conservative Party of BC would like to extend its deepest gratitude to John Rustad, who led the party. Da, 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 da. So then John Rustad tweets out, I have not resigned. I've not been removed and I'm not going anywhere. A political party's board can throw around whatever creative terminology they like. Professional incapacitation, he put in quotes. Give me a break. Let me be clear. That's not a constitutional mechanism. So he was like, I'm not going anywhere.
The machinations of how that means, that's the kind of what I've heard about the legislature. But I mean, there are two kind of politicians,
right?
Politicians like me that leave when people still like you.
I mean, you're hard to not George.
Somewhat.
Even when I'm fighting with you, I like you.
Yeah, 50% of Vancouver love me, 50% hated. But that's better than 90% hating me. And then there's politicians who just don't know when to hang it up, like when they sit, like you're in denial, like I guess you get too close to it, or you just think I guess I don't know. You get drunk with
I
power.
think it's
I'm
a
sure
power
it is.
thing. Yeah, I think it's a power thing. It's like, I'm not giving up my what I'm holding on to, even though you're holding on to nothing. It's like, okay,
It's
let go.
Trump aside, because
Yeah.
we can get into that later. It's
Yeah, we
really
will.
hard to be a dictator in political parties, and I got caught a couple of times in our own caucus with that when I was the chair of the caucus for a while, and I tried to do some things that I thought were they actually were good ideas, but I presented them the wrong way. I presented them like I would present them in my business, like here's I gotta okay here's the plan, we're gonna do this this and this, like, and this is how
Right.
we're gonna grow
And
and
they're
blah
like,
blah blah.
you didn't
So
ask me
I don't
first,
want to do, yeah, I
George.
didn't want to do that. Yeah. You didn't get my
It's
approval to say that. Like, but it's a
more
good
like a
idea.
game
It
of
doesn't matter if it's not a
Survivor,
good idea. Yeah.
right?
Yeah. It's
It's kind
totally
of like
like
the
it.
game of Survivor, because if you're playing too hard, we got to
Too
vote you out. We're going to
exactly.
blindside you. Yeah. That's
Exactly.
the unspun Jody version.
It's not like
It's like a
regular
reality
stuff.
TV show.
Yeah. So you
So
can't be a dictator. You really, within a, you can try to be a dictator, politically to the public, but generally in a caucus, when in a democracy, is the caucuses generally are more democratic than the actual government. It's quite often they're
right.
just because it's all behind the closed doors,
You
all
got to
those
have a
meetings.
consensus and then you move forward as a
Yeah,
collective. And
yeah.
then no matter what happens, you hold the line. Right.
People think that the caucuses are all aligned all the time and that they agree, and that's why I was always impressed with Vision Vancouver in Vancouver, because they always were lockstep. Aligned and never strayed, but that didn't happen by magic. That happened with
No.
hardcore stuff happening behind the
Whipping is
scenes,
what you call it, whipping the people
whipping.
into
Yeah, or
that's.
sending them away when they didn't knew they couldn't whip them into shape. They would go away for a few weeks on a
Go
giant
on
trip.
vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Trevor Helford, interim leader, which takes him out of the running of being the leader of the BC Conservatives. So
Well, the
who do you
most
think
bizarre
steps into
one
that?
is that we've heard, and I can't I get into the NLAs. Let's not get into that. Let's talk about outside. But Brad West is touted now. I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know
He
that would
has said
work.
he's not doing that.
Yeah, but
He says he has no interest in
all
doing that right now.
politicians saying that. Because that's like
I
saying
mean, there's
Donald
something
Trump.
about Brad West that I believe him. I believe that if he
Anyway,
wanted to do it, he'd say, yeah, actually, yeah, sure.
timing's right. If he does it, he could win the next election. It's 100% he could be premier if he did it, if he chooses to align with the conservatives, which would be a challenge, given the quite diverse personalities and opinions in the conservative party that we all are
That
aware
is
of.
an understatement. Wait, that's like a sugar-coated. Quite diverse. There are some batshit crazy things going on in that party. Like, holy crap. Honestly. And there are some
Anyways.
really good people. Like, I think Trevor Helford is a
Yeah.
good person. Like, I've had Trevor on radio shows with me. He's
He's like me.
commonsensical. He is like you. He's fiscally
Yeah, we're like me.
conservative. He's got a mind for politics that also thinks about their neighbor. And so I mean, I don't live in his riding. I have never voted for Trevor, but so it's just a matter of like the humanity piece of it. There are a couple of others that are like really, wow, if there were more people like you in here, I think there'd be more concern. My friend Yuri Fulmer ran up the Sea to Sky region in the last election. You know, here's a guy who is, you know, self-made. He's worked his way up from being a 17-year-old who bought into a share of one A&W and now owns all of them in BC and is philanthropic and mindful and green. And he thinks about, you know, truth and reconciliation. He's thoughtful and, you know, there more people like Yuri, more people like Trevor, fewer people like, I don't even want to name their names, the ones that stand in our legislature and say that everything's a hoax and
Well,
that,
some former conservatives now. I
yeah,
mean,
right. But that's what I mean. Like,
yeah, there's still a few in there, and so that's tough. So anybody who is center, you look at Gordon Campbell when he took over the Liberals, the BC Liberals. Gordon Campbell, I would have seen as a centrist, but he had to stray to the right more than I think he felt comfortable with, in order for him to control the party.
to get everybody, yeah. And we're
Yeah,
really
I mean.
seeing that because the parties have gone so other than federally now, right? Like I had a back and forth with a couple of my conservative federally conservative friends and family. I think I might have mentioned it to you last week when we were talking about the pipeline discussion plan agreement with Danielle Smith and blah 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 and what
Right.
Prime Minister Mark Carney has done. you know, some are saying he's the best conservative prime minister we've ever had. Like, and it's like, and then, but how many people on the far left are looking at that and saying, wait, that's not what we signed up for. But I mean, knowing how to shift the far fringes of the bases on both sides into the middle a little bit, which you have said over and over, how many episodes of this podcast have we done? That's the sweet spot.
Yeah, and I think for federally, the Bloc Québécois, which would be considered left of center, is a tr problem for Carney, because that's where he might lose those votes in Quebec, and that could lose his well, any chance of a majority for sure.
But he strikes me as the kind of guy Mark Carney does, and this is apropos of nothing, but in my mind, you know, if he's got 3 years left until the next election, guess what that aligns with? The end of the Trump administration. Regardless, it could be JD Vance or Marco Rubio or somebody who comes in after, but it won't be this guy. I don't know that Mark Carney aspires to be Prime Minister of Canada for, you know, multiple terms. I don't know that that, you know,
You don't
kind of
want to do it
like
for
Brad
future. You
West.
want to do it
Brad
for
West is
10 years.
like,
You want
yeah.
to do. You want to be leader for about 10 years in order to get something done. To 8 to 10 years, you need to be a leader of at least like to be in that as a prime minister or premier. You need to do it for 8 to 10 years to get. To see the results of all, it
To
takes a
see
long
things through.
time. Slow.
I understand that, but what going back to what we were saying about, you know, the John Rustads of the world who won't leave when they're horrified, like Justin Trudeau, who didn't, he had to be pushed out because he wouldn't leave. He was that unpopular and he wouldn't leave. And that, you know, savagely wounded the party that
Gordon Campbell
Mark
did
Carney
it.
was,
Didn't leave. Didn't set up a plan. You know, at least with Trudeau, there was some solid people that could run for leadership, and Carney was always touted as a potential candidate. So there wasn't a vacuum the way that we are certainly seeing. You know, that we'll see what happens to the Conservatives. It's going to renew them, and whoever becomes the leader will should set the tone. So someone who is more centrist,
See.
if understands the right side of the spectrum, and can negotiate, I think somebody that can bring everybody together. That's not easy, and that was what Gordon Campbell was able to do, because the left NDP are, there's no competition. They're aligned. They stray. You know, they got the environment slash union. You know, kind of vote that doesn't go anywhere. There's nobody else trying to get that. The Green Party tries a little bit, but they haven't succeeded. So. You know, it's always that center right of center vote. Same thing's happening in Vancouver right now with the election next year. Another party, we have one city had another candidate announced for their leadership. I mean, one city is going to be the one to watch in Vancouver. They seem to be
Explain
getting
that a
this
little bit for
together.
people who had that slide off their radar.
So there's a couple of people. So one city is sort of this left wing party. There's two left. There's a party called COPE. It's been around forever. A splinter party called One City. Good brand name. It's very effective. They've been around since I was in office, and they have one. I think they have one person in council right now. There was a two. No, one COPE, one city. So they're usually aligned. They usually do a split kind of campaign in the election. So they have two people running for leadership that I know of for one city. So they're going to have an open process, which is always a good idea because it gets you lots of PR. And so it'll be interesting to see because the ABC, while polling okay as a party, is with Ken Simmons leader, is polling terrible, and he's polling terrible. So there's a potential vacuum that if one party, one city, potentially at this rate, unless the Green Party gets aligned and really stand, and Pete Fry runs. But the question is, Pete Fry runs and one city runs, they split the left, and that makes it possible for Ken Simmons to win again. So that's the question that the left is asking themselves in Vancouver. It's quite the opposite. So, but then there's all these other people running against Canada. So we'll see how those people, but slowly they'll slowly disappear, I think, as we head towards October. By July, there might be one other person up against them. The rest of it will just disappear or align
That'll be
behind
an
it.
interesting. It's an interesting marathon to next October. Let's talk about Surrey, speaking of exhausting municipal politics, because it's once again, we're talking about Mayor Brenda Locke and the Surrey Police Service. And it's wild that this continues during a time where I don't even remember a time where Surrey has been this in the news for all the wrong reasons, with these extortion cases and drive-by shootings, intimidation, and smashed windows, and you know, like just gunfire and like out there extortion growing through Surrey and now into the valley further. We saw some in Abbotsford as well, but Surrey police coming forward and saying they need, you know, 91 million more dollars.
Which would put their budget at what?
330.
What? Over 300 million? What?
Right.
Wait,
Who mentioned
what?
that?
I mean, more than
George is
30% of
right
their
again.
budget?
Yeah, George is right again. See, I've steeled myself to the fact that I'm going to say this a million times in this podcast. Yeah, but you were right. And
What costs? That's what it
on one
costs.
hand, Brenda Locke is saying we need 100 more police officers to help with extortion, and on the other hand, she's saying we cannot give this extraordinarily outrageous or whatever she said was something to the effect of that, misquoting her, but it was up there with this outrageous amount of money, this $91 million, to go with the $250 million that the provincial government had promised because of not wanting the burden on the Surrey taxpayer for how grossly mishandled the rollout of this municipal force was by Brenda Locke's administration, frankly.
Well, I mean, to her credit and to her into her defense, she argued that the police force is going to cost a lot of money for taxpayers and that the RCMP was a more efficient police force financially for the city. So she's not wrong as
But she
excluding
also
them out.
voted for it before with
Yes,
Doug
I know,
McCallum.
but that's just
So
one of her, that
that's
was
the
one of
part
her
where it's
debates.
like,
Well, that was one of her main arguments, though.
Sure. I
So
mean,
anyways,
this
so it's going
just
to
in,
cost them
policing is
500.
expensive.
It's going
Yeah.
to cost them $500 million, just like Vancouver, before you know it. So,
That's
and
too
this is the
bad.
price of growth. You have a city that's growing so fast. And
Exactly.
is policing the answer? Okay, when we asked a question in Vancouver, and if you want to get involved with this, my accountabilityvancouver.com, and give me your input on at the website that I've created to get people's input in Vancouver. But is $500 million in Vancouver the right amount of money for? Is it? Well, are we seeing results if we're spending more money? And that's the question that needs to be asked in Surrey for $90 million more. What can we expect
What
to
do you
see
get?
as taxpayers? Are we going to see what's the plan for? Are you going to
Yeah.
have criminal units that are going to deal with this crime? Like specifically, I want to know before, as a taxpayer, I pay another 90 million or 10% tax increase or 16% tax. It's huge tax increase. What exactly? So
18, 18%,
show
18.
me the plan for this
Yeah.
90 specifically. I want to know you're going to put 30, $50 million toward hiring a bunch of investigators to deal with criminal units and blah, blah. We're going to do 20 million for this. And we're going to do that.
We're going to have community boots on the ground, people, bike
Yeah. Because
cops and
otherwise,
ATV cops and yeah.
put 90 million into engineering in any city, and you'll see a 30% crime reduction in those communities immediately. It's proven across the board in every community anywhere in the world. If they put more money into making the place more beautiful and cleaner, and the crime goes down automatically because people don't like doing crime in nice areas. They really don't.
Right.
They
No.
feel they're being watched.
We talked about that last week about, you know, if I had the conch, you know, what would I do in Vancouver, in my city? That'd be the first thing, is to clean it up. But like, we stopped. I remember a time where cleaning the city was part of living here. Like, you would notice that it was being cleaned. And if graffiti went up, the graffiti came down. Now it's like, oh, we don't want to touch the art. It's like, yeah, I know. It's like, okay. Or even just street cleaners, like walking around downtown and it smelling like
Sidewalks.
a terrible, terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Stop with
Anyway.
the shitty little filling of sidewalk bumps. Just replace,
Just
fix it.
fix the
Fix it
sidewalk.
properly.
Right. Yeah, I have had a lake in front of my house for 15 years. Have reported it, taken photos of it. Can you fix it? No, we can't. It's like, it's near a school. It's used big time. Like, you cannot roll a wheelchair across it without going through. Anyway, nope, can't fix it. But you go up to the boulevard on the way out to Pacific Spirit Park, up 25th, in front of Lord Byng Secondary, and they're redoing the corner curbs at a crosswalk to narrow the street. Just
Right.
to,
It's
it's
create
like,
traffic jams.
I mean, so how does that rate higher than cleaning up some of the most hard hit parts of the city? Like, let's take the place that already has a massive green boulevard down the center of it, put in a crosswalk with the lights that flash. They've already got cops that sit there flagging down people, ticketing them one after another because they kept
Different
changing
budget, different
the schools.
budgets.
I know, it's wild.
That's the problem.
Anyway.
So $250,000 to put one of those lights in. So that's very expensive for the engineering department to put that light in.
Right.
So and police say, well, we need that light because
250,000.
it makes it safer. So then, okay, come out of your budget, police. You got
Right.
another 50 million in this budget. You put
And then they're like,
lights in.
instead, we'll put two cops standing there all day with
Union.
a, yeah,
Union money.
it's a thing. Let's talk about a positive before we tap into what's going on in the US if we have time. But the positive that I saw this week in the federal front, we were talking a bit before we hit record here, was the equivalent of the press dinner that used to be so funny in the US, the one where, frankly, Barack Obama really pissed off Donald Trump for the first time, and Trump has never been able to let it go because he made a joke at Trump's expense. We saw kind of a different side of Pierre Poilievre. Of him actually showing up was really quite surprising because he had to eat crow, really.
Yeah, I know they were all the leaders were there. The interim leader for the NDP, everybody was having fun and fun of them, making fun of each other and of themselves. And I think that's the whole point of that dinner, is you're supposed to, not take this job too seriously. I think what's happened in America, and we'll get into it a little bit, is that you can't take this stuff too seriously. Even when I at a local level, I would always be weird. Like, you'd have these giant debates in the chamber, and then you'd go back into the back room where the cookies and coffee were, and I'd be sitting there with Tim Stevenson, who he and I had just been battling on the floor,
And the
and then we'd
forum.
come, yeah, and then we'd come back in the and have a coffee, and we'd talk about other stuff. We wouldn't talk about what we just did. We'd talk about it because I like him. He's a funny
Yeah, how
guy,
are the kids? Is your
and
dog feeling better?
And you got to let it go. You can't take it. I mean, you're committed to the issue you're fighting about, but once the fight's over in politics, you got to sort of go, okay, anyways, what else has happened? Like, come on. And that's what's gone in the States. And it was good to see that in Ottawa, there's still a sense of humor in politics, which I
It was
think is
pretty
so
funny.
important.
It was Poilievre was very funny. He was trying his best. Well, hold on, I take that back. It was awkward and uncomfortable watching Pierre Poilievre try and be funny. And then because he was able to make fun of himself so resoundingly, it actually, I think, helped his brand that's been, just absolutely crucified in the last year plus, and he hasn't been able to find his
Yeah,
feet.
no, I think it was a good moment for him. If there's any way to save his leadership, it's finding a sense of humor.
Finding it.
Finding it.
And he was like, yeah, if you can find the video online, you should watch just the clips of it.
All
It's
the
worth
leaders,
your
watch
time.
all the leaders do their things, and then because they have great reactions of like Poilievre reacting, and then it's quite good.
It is. It is. Okay, so let's just how much time do we have here? We've got like seven minutes. We can only cover so much in the US right now that is happening because, as per usual, the Trump administration is flooding the zone. Anything to flip the script. He's managed to flip the script quite a bit on just by blowing up boats in the Caribbean, right? Like this is unbelievable. It's murder. It's a war crime. Somebody's gonna go down for this. And it looks like at first it was like, oh, it's a big hoax. And it's like, oh, now it's not a hoax, but I'm sure Pete didn't have anything to do with it. And now there's an admiral on the hook for it. And it's just like, it's sickening what we're watching happen here. First strike on a boat that, yes, were bad guys. Yes, they were carrying drugs. But once they blew up the boat and there's two guys hanging off the boat, there's video of this. Those are survivors. Those are victims of that attack. And what you do is you rescue those victims and then you try them and you make effort to learn more
The
of
rules of engagement.
the rules of engagement. And what we just witnessed, and they're like, no.
Yeah,
Like,
just go in for a second round. And
the double
Pete Hegseth
tap.
is saying he had nothing to do with it. Yet there's recordings of him and stuff saying him that he does watch all these things live and does order make the orders. So
He's in trouble.
Well, who knows anymore? I mean, in America, is anybody ever in trouble? Remember that
I
Epstein
think they
guy?
get
There
in
was
trouble
apparently some
way.
Epstein files that we were supposed to see.
I agree.
What happened
I
to
think
that?
it all happens way after the fact.
Yes.
I think the Trump, the comeuppance eventually happens. It's just exhausting getting there.
I don't know. I'd be surprised if that does happen, really, because
Really?
that's why they're in this situation, because they spent 4 years going after Trump and all these people. which then he goes and lets them all free or whatever. And so, you know, I think the Democrats will be, if they get in again, which I don't know if they ever will, that they will certainly maybe think can reconsider the whole, you know, go after Republicans and put them in jail and all that stuff. Let's just get to work and start building the country and win the battle of PR and positivity and build a country that, you know, anywhere that, you know, and that's what kind of we're trying to do in Canada. I mean, let's just, can we just focus on the future and stop whining about the
Please.
past? And I know there's horrible things that happen, and there might be international tribunals that go after them, and that's another game altogether. But I
That's
would
what I
say,
think,
you
though.
know.
That's where I think the comeuppance happens, is the Hague steps in and says you can't,
Well,
just because
something
you're
has to.
America doesn't mean you can do that.
Yeah.
And the polling around Trump, but masterful in spin, obviously. What did he call affordability? The word affordability.
It's not, it's all spinning, but he used, it's a
Con job.
con job.
He said affordability is a con job. A con
Yes.
job,
By the Democrats.
but yeah, made up
Yeah.
by the left.
I mean, you know, I know there's been people, oh, this is it. This is gonna get Trump.
No, right.
This is the one that's gonna get him. I'm like, no, it's because he's just spinning. It's all about spin. It's like people are gonna start those Trump supporting. Yeah, that's right. Maybe it isn't as affordable. Maybe it is, this, yeah, it's Biden's fault. You know, the guy's been in power a year and inflation's still happening.
I know, right?
And you
And they're
know,
like,
it's
it's Sleepy Joe while Trump's asleep in his caucus meeting.
yeah. I would say
Wild.
that what they should, you know, and he's saying there's no inflation. And of course, you know, when you look at the basket of goods, this is all the debate I got into with in budgeting, because there's this argument about inflation and the bath and inflation of a basket of goods, like your shopping versus
Right.
inflation as a thing, right? So you think about when a lot of the numbers we see on what inflation are related to gas, like and oil and a whole bunch of other things. But how much are my groceries costing? Literally, like this basket of goods is the term they use, but it's kind of like, what is my day-to-day costing
Your
me?
grocery basket.
That,
It's actually a basket.
what's that price? Because this oil's going down, great, which then brings inflation down, but my groceries are 7% more. So that's the inflation I think about. That's the affordability I think about. And so when I was in council, I was always arguing, you know, when we talk about the budget, we have to think about how much things are costing people, not just what the inflation rate is. And I would say that in Vancouver, because inflation rate at that time was 2%, 1%, and so I'm saying, you know, and they were saying that's, you know, we can do 3%, it's not a big deal. And I'm like, no, we should be doing 0% because it's not cheaper in Vancouver. It's expensive to rent and it's expensive to own. So therefore, it's expensive in Vancouver, and we are representing Vancouver. So when you think about what's affordability, it's affordability for all of us. And in the case of America, it's all of America. And I think you'd be hard pressed to, if you said, is it cheaper to buy groceries right now than it was a year ago in America or Canada for that matter? No, it's way more
No,
expensive. You
way
just go
more
look.
expensive.
I mean, I don't pay attention that much to groceries, but you know, I'm like,
You're not the
no,
grocery shopper in your family?
I'm not the cook. I'm not the cook,
Right.
so I just, you
Right.
know, don't think about it much. But I get to, I do the cleaning, and
Well,
that's free.
you're a good man to do
And
the
that's
cleaning.
free.
That's free. Yeah.
A little.
But going grocery shopping, because I do the gro I do grocery shop and I do cook, and
Yeah.
so does Brian. It's astonishing to how expensive that basket is now, depending on what you buy.
Yeah.
And I'm super fortunate. I grew up in a household where we had to buy the cheapest cut of meat and just the few things that were on our list and nothing more. And I got to a point in my life where I could walk into the grocery store and decide while perusing the aisles what I felt like buying. And that is truly being lucky, like super fortunate,
Right.
hard work and leaning in for sure. But there are people who will never experience that. So with that caveat out of the way, I now cannot ignore the fact that the roast I want to make for Christmas dinner for six of us is $100 for just the meat. A hundred
So,
dollars. Not a
I
fancy
know.
big prime rib
Oh, I
roast
know.
where everybody has 9,000
Yes.
pounds of it. I'm talking like a roast.
Yeah. No, it's crazy
A
to buy
year ago, 2 years
pork,
ago,
right?
that was a $40 roast. Like
Yeah.
it's
It's
wildly
crazy. And
expensive.
I
It's
think we have a
wildly
lot of meat in
expensive.
this country. I think the
Yeah, right.
Democrats, when we talk about our show, it's Unspun and all that stuff. And what they need to do is think, okay, because I think what Trump's figured out is the word affordable, it sounds pretentious and it
It
sounds
does.
fancy. What the real word is, what expensive
Yeah.
is it more expensive for you right now, or does things cost more? Use the basic terms that we all use. I mean, you wouldn't say these groceries are not affordable. You never
No.
say the we never say the word
I'd be like,
affordable
this is
in
an
hate.
outrageously
This is
expensive roast.
Yes, this is an
Yeah.
unaffordable roast. It's
No.
expensive. And so
Exactly.
what the Democrats should just keep saying is the Republicans are making it more expensive for us in America.
Yeah.
Expensive, expensive, expensive. Or
Expensive,
find even a
expensive,
better word
expensive.
than expensive. I don't know what it would be, but figure it out and pull it and
It
use
costs
it
you more.
more.
Having Republicans in charge costs you more every day. And now with the with all the healthcare stuff coming, because that's starting in just a number a handful of weeks, right? That's when all the premiums are going up with the big, beautiful bill, whatever. I know way too much about US politics, more than I want to know. But the Epstein files, and we can end on this,
What's that?
that but the Epstein file, like due date to release the files is actually the beginning of December, right? Like we're a week away from what the judge ordered. And then that'll go back to a headline cycle. So he's going to be, they're going to be flooding the zone with all the other things to try and, you know, that's when they're going to like send fighter jets into Honduras and
Canada.
Venezuela or whatever. Yeah. So I'll be
Oh.
like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Greenland, watch out.
Oh my God.
Remember that?
Please. Well, and the tariffs, right? Because Flavio Volpe is down there. Is it today or tomorrow meeting to say, like, come on.
Are we gonna meet?
Yeah. Well, these tariffs aren't helping you and they're not helping us. Like, what are we doing? And then the Supreme Court later on in the month will be ruling whether or not tariffs are legal or illegal. I love what Costco did. That's actually a
What's
real positive to end on.
that?
Costco being like, I want all of our money for tariffs back.
Okay.
They filed a lawsuit against the Trump
Oh.
administration as a company to say for that the Supreme Court of the United States would even entertain the idea that these tariffs are illegal. They are. We want our money back.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
That would
I mean, if
bankrupt America, wouldn't it? Unless they've
it
been
would.
spending it. They've been spending the cash.
Exactly. So,
Interesting. Well,
yeah.
we'll see. We'll see. I think that, I have the lowest hopes for
I
America.
know you consistently do, and that you're right all the time kind of freaks me out. But I'm gonna keep my cup half full.
Nice.
Yes. Oh gosh, we went a minute over. We got to go. So you can follow us along. Go to unspunpodcast.com. Tell your friends. We talk about all the things happening municipally, provincially, federally, and sometimes we go to US and abroad. You can find us unspunpodcast.com on Twitter. I love your handle on Twitter, George. We say it every time. It's at George
Underscore.
Affleck, at George underscore Affleck on Twitter. Always a great follow. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, on all the social media. You can find us, like, subscribe, do all the things, comment if you want. We read all your comments, even though some of you don't like us. It's okay. Talk to you. Bye.